Let us pray. While we are waiting, come, Holy Spirit. While we are waiting, Lord Jesus, speak. While we are waiting, Creator, open us to your word and to your will. Amen. We celebrate this week the Feast of the Ascension. Ascension officially happens 40 days after Easter, so it falls on a Thursday this year. So Thursday, look up. And then it's followed by the season and the Feast of Pentecost on Sunday, June 5th. That will be 50 days of Eastertide. And so thinking about this time in between Easter, the great 50 days of Easter, and in the time that we are waiting for the birth of the church, the celebration of the Holy Spirit, it gives us pause to think about waiting and perhaps patience. When I got to seminary, we were picking out courses, and I met with some advisors, and they said to me, well, you have to take Hebrew and Greek, and you can do those year-long, but you also have the opportunity to take them in the summer. And so they said, well, for example, you could do Hebrews over two semesters, or you could do Hebrew over two semesters, Hebrew 1 and 2, and all of the exegetical work that comes with that, learning the language, the vocabulary, the grammar, and becoming, at least be able to read the Masoretic text. And they said, in Greek, you can do the same thing, or you could take Greek over the summer in 8 weeks, 6 credits. And I bought it. So I took Greek in the summer for 8 weeks. 3 hours of class every morning, a test every day to see what you had learned from the day before, an exam every Friday. 8 weeks, 5 days a week. And so, like the psalmist, I began to say, how long, O Lord? It's a good question, isn't it? How long will this last? We have certainly asked it in this time. Certainly, we have wondered how long this time that we are in would last. Nadia Boltz Weber, a Lutheran pastor, wrote about her journey of waiting in the first few months of the pandemic. She said, here's a confession. I realize now that when this global pandemic all started, I think I was trying to be as optimistic as possible, believing it the best way to get through. So I told myself, it's okay to spend a couple of weeks at home, because after this, we'll be able to go to Holy Week services. Then it was, well, I still can't wait to preach Pentecost at the cathedral at the end of May. Maybe not. Then it was, well, at least my gigs in June will still happen. Maybe not. Then it was, well, okay, not the June gigs, but the July ones for sure. Maybe not. Then it was, geez, at least there's that festival every September that I love. Maybe not. Then a friend who is in the music business mentioned that the concert promoters are all saying fall 2021 is the earliest they think we can return to concerts, festivals, and big events. And that exact same day, I read a piece about how dangerous singing is. And then even if we do get to go to church again this year, there can't be singing. I had hooked my hope on something in the future, and as each hope dissolved, I'd find another hook until finally reality sunk in. And then I spent the rest of that day and most of the next alternately worrying about the future and watching about 62 hours of television. And here we are, year 3. Impatience is defined as not patient. Maybe you've experienced this. I had a friend say, I've stopped praying for patience because God keeps giving me situations that test it. Sometimes we think of patience as merely, patience as really impatience stretched to its finite degree. And certainly, we are in a season where we may not be as patient as we once were. I think we have lost some of those bandwidths that we used to have. Maybe some tolerance. Maybe we're restless or short of temper, especially under irritation, delay, or opposition. Impatience is also defined as eagerly desirous. Maybe perhaps you can relate. But anyone here in the 14th month of the 14th year of the pandemic, I'm only exaggerating a little, but what about gifts? Those gifts of impatience? Surely we are almost there. How long, O Lord? And yes, we have good news. We are vaccinated and boosted, and there are more and more people joining. We have come back to church. We are celebrating. We have health measures. We can keep the doors open. We are well into the season of discernment with the Holy Cow. Confirmation is meeting. We have programs. We have the Place series. We have the Understanding Racial Justice. We are active and engaged. We have come back. And yet, we're still wearing masks. We're still questioning each decision. We have to go backward and forward in terms of how we behave. A friend of mine and her colleague were going through some rough times professionally and personally, and they remembered that old tired saying, God's timing is perfect timing. They decided God's watch was broken. Maybe the difference between patience and impatience is not an either or, but a both and. We fall on that continuum on any given time of the day. So perhaps this has happened to you. Maybe you're at a stoplight, noticing the man in the car in front of you scratching his left ear. Maybe you're checking out at the CVS, and a young woman in front of you snaps her gum as the woman in front of her at the counter presses the wrong button on the card reader and has to start over. Or you had a moment to watch a child become absorbed in the texture of grass and the delight of a ladybug. You smell the aroma of cooking and know that it is not yet time to eat. Gifts of impatience or patience, they are simply attitudes of waiting. And our attitudes of waiting can vary on how we are feeling, how we slept, what we did, what we want to do. In this passage in the book of Acts, Jesus has ordered the disciples not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father and the receiving of the Holy Spirit. And then when they are all together again, for the last time in person, as it turns out, Jesus is speaking, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Not now, but soon. Wait. And while he's saying this, as they were watching, he was lifted up and the disciples stand there gazing up until angels come and politely ask them what they are doing. I think admirably refraining from commenting on slack jaws or open mouths. They are in fact waiting. Not quite sure what to do or where to go or how to be. This is where the waiting begins for them and for us. The Feast of the Ascension seems like a holy pause. The disciples are to wait for the promise to be fulfilled, and that is what they are doing. To me, this says we're pretty okay with the beginning of waiting. Perhaps not so much if it starts to stretch a little longer. At the Ascension Chapel in Jerusalem, the chapel and the altar surrounds the Rock of Ascension. There is a little depression in that rock. And there is another rock in the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Both of those places where Jesus' feet left the earth are sacred to Christians and Muslims. One footprint in the here in the Ascension Chapel in Jerusalem, the other in the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And that is where Jesus was lifted up to heaven, the final imprint of his foot as he rose. People worship there. And I think, I hope that we are all praying for patience, but I have been in that Ascension Chapel, and it seemed to be the place where a holy pause could in fact happen. There's another Ascension Chapel. It's in the Shrine of Our Lady of Walsingham in England. And it's not on the ground, but there is a circular medallion in the ceiling, in the dome, above the altar, that surrounds a sculpture. Now the sculpture is in the ceiling, of Jesus's feet. Just the parts north of the heels, in other words, just his 10 toes dangling down, complete with nail imprints, dangling out of the ceiling. The Ascension Chapel. Maybe we need these visual reminders that yes, the Holy Spirit is coming, that yes, part of the waiting is part of our call. But still, how long, O Lord? Because it's been a long time. We have seemed to be in a permanent waiting stage. And yet, we are also called to be in this moment. I had a mentor who said, whenever you get tangled up in life's decisions and are fretting, just look down at your feet. You're right where you're supposed to be. I didn't like hearing that at first, but I have come to believe that there is wisdom there. The scripture has us waiting for the Holy Spirit because we are to be equipped, are equipped to go out into the world. I think there's a distinction to be made, too, between enforced waiting and intentional waiting. Perhaps our journey as people of faith is to realize that the enforced waiting can become intentional depending upon our attitude toward it. If we can move emotionally, spiritually, intellectually into an attitude of this right now is where we are supposed to be, even if we don't like it, then perhaps we can notice God's timing, God's gifts, God's graces in the time that we are actually in. For how many of us are always on to the next thing? How many of us are really fully in our bodies at all times? We're often thinking about where we're supposed to be. What's the next thing, right? We're always moving, moving, moving. And this intentional waiting can be an invitation to be and to notice that God is indeed at work. Elizabeth Musser, in her book, Words Unspoken, writes of this practice of intentional waiting. He forced his mind clear of other thoughts and waited. Stillness, he had learned, did not come naturally. He practiced it. Sometimes as he waited, he heard the Lord's voice coursing through his spirit almost audibly. Other times he heard nothing. But sometimes he felt filled up and satisfied and understood. I have practiced this a few times. Sometimes it's been more fruitful, in other words, more benefits for me than others. Sometimes I have felt satisfied. Sometimes I just thought about the next thing. Sometimes we're like the guy in the cartoon that I saw in the Presbyterian Outlook. It's a bunch of disciples, and there's one guy that's looking around. All the others are looking up, and the one guy is saying, where? Where? And it's captained It's captioned Ascension Deficit Disorder. Sorry. I have more. But if we focus on what we're doing right now, if we focus on the work of justice and peace and our activity and our waiting, this puts us right where we're supposed to be. In this time of waiting, also for God to move, for God to act, and being in partnership with the preparation of the Holy Spirit to move and to act. For the coming of the Spirit is a fearful and wondrous thing, and it takes preparation. In the next few weeks, we will continue to be dreaming big about the future of this community, the mission study team, and the listening sessions, and then moving forward into small groups. What do we want to see, to be, to do? Our discussions will help us write the story on our information form. Who are we? How have we come to be? And perhaps the new story of how the Presbyterian Church of Traverse City has come through this enormously long waiting time. Waiting is and has not been passive. We have been tapped into a new depth. Perhaps this time, as a nation, has given us time to look and to read and to discover who we are and who we want to be. We are part of that. Last week, a colleague and my beloved, the Reverend Stanley Jenkins, took a vote with his session on reparations. They voted $100,000 in reparations work. I texted and said, "How are you?" And he said, "I could cry." That did not happen overnight. That was over 5 years of planning. It began with relationships. It began with book study groups between different churches. It began with fellowship, with prayer. It began with hard conversations. It began with people who did not understand each other or each other's food or background or history. But they came together over time. And now their work begins. Now the Holy Spirit has moved, and now they have to decide how and where the money goes. It's exciting. Waiting, we know it. We can say, "How long, O Lord?" We know what it is to wait. We know what it is to wait, not just for the small stuff, but the big stuff too, and not just the work of the church. Maybe you've experienced waiting for a call from the doctor with results from the tests. That's a holy and sacred kind of waiting. Maybe the sound of your teenager coming into the house at night. Maybe waiting for the birth of the baby and the first phone calls and cell phone pictures. Maybe waiting between the breaths of a beloved that grow longer and longer. God is always inviting us into the holy pause. If we keep focusing on there, we'll miss what's happening here. In the movie My Octopus Teacher, have you seen it on PBS? Spoiler alert. A man spends a year waiting on an octopus. Off the coast of South Africa, he dives into the kelp forest every day for 324 days, waiting for her, observing her, making a tenuous and then a playful and then a loving connection, for she begins to recognize his presence and him. As she lives and hunts and plays and escapes from predators, and he marvels at her ingenuity and adaptability. At one point, she actually becomes comfortable enough to rest her body on his chest, right over his heart, as he gently touches the top of her head. Ultimately, he patiently waits as she draws near the end of her life, mating and hatching her young, then stopping eating, and then beginning to die. I wept at his patience and his restraint as he lets nature take its course. Afterward, he continues to return to the place just to remember that this beautiful, intelligent creature once lived there. But he has also formed a community of divers who have taken on the conservation and care of the kelp forest and its environs. His waiting has become an action and a purpose that he could not have imagined. We are being called to new purpose and new action, even if the pandemic, and now the endemic, has not felt like a holy pause. Surely we, in the midst of struggle and heartbreak and death, can recognize the patience of God meeting our own impatience, meeting us with gifts and graces that we would not otherwise have seen or imagined. How long, O Lord, is the question that invites us into right now. We are in the in-between, and that is called faith. Between the already and the not yet. And so, on this Feast of the Ascension, let us look up to the heavens. Let us look down at our feet. Let us look around at our broken and beautiful world, waiting for the Spirit to come again and again and again. The resurrection continues. Thanks be to God.